I have always wanted to adopt a forest, and I'd name it in the winter time. Folks, and welcome to Growing Forward, the podcast about ethical community-based business. I'm your hostess, Bethany Latham, and I'm speaking with makers, doers, and entrepreneurs who are positively contributing to our communities locally and globally as we humans grow forward. I'd like to share a quote from Wendell Berry, the essay, "Conservation is Good Work." The name of our present society's connection to the earth is bad work. Work that is only generally and crudely defined, that enacts a dependence that is ill understood, that enacts no affection and gives no honor. Every one of us is to some extent guilty of this bad work. This guilt does not mean that we must indulge in breastfeeding and confession. It means only that there is much good work to be done by every one of us, and that we must begin to do it. All of us are responsible for bad work, not so much because we do it ourselves, though we all do, as because we have had it done for us by other people. Today, I have the great pleasure of speaking with Mrs. Alyssa Collins of Latitude Realty out of Portland, Oregon.
I'm really good. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this with me. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. Just back from a weekend retreat with some of my fellow friends. We went out to the Columbia River Gorge and found some hot, cold springs and did some yoga and ate some good food.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it really was.
I really miss the Pacific Northwest. There's just no place like it.
No, there really isn't. I was raised in Alaska, and, you know, to be honest, the Northwest has just as much to celebrate as, like, the Great Lands of the North up there.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. I mean, you know, each place has its own unique beauty and its own difference, you know, the differences. But at the end of the day, I can always find something that I appreciate in each landscape or place that I live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's interesting. There are so many, like, Alaska transplants in the Pacific Northwest and the Portland area specifically.
Yeah, that is how I ended up getting to Oregon, was for college. I went to college in Eugene at the University of Oregon. And I had done a big, you know, kind of very typical college tour with my mom. And when I landed on the campus in Eugene, I felt like I had come home. Yeah. So it's great. It's a perfect place for me.
Did you go to Oregon State University?
No, I ended up going to the University of Oregon.
Okay.
Oregon State.
Oregon State's in Corvallis, isn't it?
Yep, it's in Corvallis. A little bit more of the science-heavy university, whereas Eugene has a lot more of the liberal arts.
Okay. Man, I missed it so much. I was in Portland before moving to New Mexico.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
That's great. Yeah. How long did you live in Portland?
Just for a year.
Yeah.
And at the time, I didn't have a vehicle. So I was completely just in the city and then reliant on friends or my boyfriend at the time to like ever go to the coast or get out into the mountains. Mm-hmm. And I'm super outdoorsy. So I think if I had had my own vehicle, it would have been just the most amazing experience. I mean, the coast is so close. You've got the mountains, those like misty forests are just, they really totally pull on my heartstrings.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I feel you, and I'm thankful and have gratitude that we have a car that we are able to hop in, you know, at our convenience to be able to go to the coast. You know, we were in the coastal range last weekend, actually getting a fresh oak log because we're going to be inoculating it at our home for mushrooms. We're going to start growing some of our own mushrooms.
Sweet.
I know. And then you just head east, you know, out the Columbia River Gorge, and you're between Mount Hood and Mount Adams. And it's just very powerful. And, you know, you go a little bit further east and you're in the high desert. You know, everything grows here, whether it's, you know, wine, grapes, to all of our fruits and all of our vegetables. I mean, olive oil is starting to make its way here. So I just feel like it's such a, well, it's an area that I believe in from a climate change standpoint and where I want to be living and how I want to be investing my time and energy. And then it's also really fun because you get to experience all these flavors and all these amazing makers and people that are really growing amazing things.
It's a very, very creative community in Oregon in general, I think.
It is. That is one of the reasons why I did not go back to Alaska, and which always pulls at my heartstrings because Alaska does have some amazing people, but I had to really look at climate change adaptation and food security, and Alaska was a place that just didn't necessarily have the policymakers to be having those types of discussions. Mm-hmm. So in 2014 is when I finally made the formal move with my husband at the time to Portland, saying, yes, this is going to be where we put our taproot and this is where we're going to raise our family and go from there.
Okay, wonderful. It's 2014. You've been there for about 6 years.
Yeah, and I had lived down in Eugene from 2002 to 2007, and then I had a stint back in Alaska working for the University of Alaska Anchorage. I had been a fundraiser for many years, actually both at the U of O, University of Oregon, and then up at the University of Alaska Anchorage. So I had this fundraising background that kind of kept me going, and I ended up leaving Alaska in 2011 because I wanted to go to graduate school at this really amazing place called the SIT Graduate Institute in Brattleboro, Vermont, which had some phenomenal degree programs, you know, focused on sustainable development, conflict transformation, international education. So really I had, yeah, and I haven't mentioned, I studied international studies while I was an undergraduate student, and it took me to different places in the world. And so I was always looking at, you know, quote unquote, poverty alleviation and what do you do? How do you solve these big global problems? Mm-hmm. And so anyway, graduate school was like the next layer deep into that. And Vermont was a phenomenal place to continue that learning. And I met my husband there and I met some really amazing people. And it did give me the foundation that I need to be able to do what I'm doing today in Portland.
Yeah. So tell us, what are you doing today in Portland?
Yeah. So my husband and I founded Latitude, and it is a real estate sales company that essentially is working towards a sustainable, resilient, and beautiful world through real estate sales. And if you asked me a couple of years ago if I would have ever thought of myself as a realtor or a real estate professional, I would have told you no way. Like, that sounds terrible. I do not want to be a realtor. I want nothing to do with the industry. You know, hopefully my judgment doesn't come out, but I always considered that like a world. I was in the nonprofit world, right? I wasn't in the for-profit world. So I had this really, this big distinction in my mind of how these different people, you know, how you approach the world. But when we were moving to Oregon back in 2014, we got married in my husband's parents' backyard with a small ceremony and did a honeymoon road trip out of Louisiana. That's where he's from originally, and out to Oregon. And while we were driving, we stayed at this amazing place called the Crash Pad, which is a hostel in Chattanooga, Tennessee, that was, you know, a new construction LEED Platinum certified building. And it was welcoming all of the athletes and adventurous families to Chattanooga, you know, to experience, you know, trail running or rock climbing or river rafting. And of course, Chattanooga has an amazing food scene too. So we spent a couple of days there and got completely inspired by their building, which really ended up setting the trajectory of our lives today. So long story short, We continue the drive. We move to Portland. And while that drive was happening, Neil, my husband, said, hey, you know, we should buy a duplex. And I thought, okay, well, that sounds good. And, you know, we didn't have jobs, but we had always, like I said, been in kind of the fundraising, grant writing space. So we just got a little bit more creative and figured out how to buy our first property in Portland. And that ended up launching us into a real estate career.
Okay. Wow. I'm super curious. Can we unpack this a little bit? You say you guys got more creative. How did you go about, without employment, getting a duplex?
Yeah. So it was actually a fourplex, and our landlords at the time, you know, said, hey, we're thinking about selling it. Do you want to buy it? And we didn't have enough money for a down payment, but because I had spent so many years, you know, fundraising for the University of Oregon and asking people for philanthropic gifts, I guess you could say I felt more comfortable asking people to invest or asking for their financial resources. And we had gotten comfortable, you know, making those proposals and explaining to people why it would be beneficial for them. I mean, it's always still nerve-wracking. It's not like it comes easily, but all those years as a young 20-something calling alumni, I realized that served us really well. So we started asking some family members if they'd be willing to invest with us, and they said yes. And that particular property, we were able to get conventional financing with a co-signer and get a mortgage on it through a bank. But we have also found other property owners in town that have a tax plan, and they want to do this thing called seller financing, where essentially they become the bank. You know, they don't have any debt on the property. They don't want to own it anymore, but they want to receive a monthly income over the course of time. So we also found some amazing neighbors that wanted to do that. And we bought another duplex and another duplex. And that's where we're at today personally. And it was such it was such an amazing crash course into essentially the world of finance and how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super interested in real estate investing myself. I'm actually looking at a potential triplex. It would require a lot of work, but later today. So that would be my first investment property. And so the logistics of starting off investing in real estate are super interesting to me.
Yeah, well, we can definitely find another time to talk about it, because there's a lot of nuance to it in some ways. And then there's not, right? There's some basics. But if it needs a lot of work, that's sometimes people are ready for it. But that's the approach that my husband and I took, is we found properties that needed work and the owners were willing to give a discount, I guess you could say, quote unquote, on the price, because they knew that it would be a hassle to list it and put it on the market and potentially get really beat up by the buyers. And so we also found that we were able to solve their problems by making it easy on them, and they made it easy on us by giving us a better price.
Mm-hmm.
So there's power in working both on the market and off the market. Essentially, you know, as real estate professionals, we are helping people solve their problems, and that's the number one goal, is really listening and finding out what they actually need. And real estate investors also can get a bad name. And that's something that there's always an implicit bias there, but we really try to make sure that, yeah, we're meeting people where they're at and we're hearing what they have to say. So that way we can be amazing problem solvers.
Yes. So through Latitude Realty, what is your mission? What are the problems that you focus on solving?
Yeah. So Latitude Realty, like I said a couple minutes ago, is, you know, the mission is working towards a sustainable, resilient, and beautiful world through real estate sales. And it's such an exciting time to be a real estate broker, because you realize that real estate brokers are very well connected in their communities. They know a lot of people. And my husband and I believe that realtors can be amazing agents of change. But the real estate industry doesn't typically hear that kind of language. You know, it's a little bit more traditional. And with all of our studies and all of our collective experiences, like my husband and I, you know, we had studied climate change adaptation in graduate school, lived in the Maldives, swam and worked with whale sharks, you know, looking at keystone species and threatened species and coral reef resilience. So we had a number of years literally living on an island of 150 people in the middle of the ocean, thinking about human impact and what it's doing to our ecosystems. And so we've always been really values driven people. And finally, after a number of years kind of in the traditional real estate space, it was 2019 that we realized, like, okay, we can advance the conversation and we can start educating and inspiring realtors to learn more about how to counsel their clients with better choices, ranging from, you know, like the building science and the materials you're putting into it, to how you live more resiliently in your home, in the type of social relationships you have, and then to beauty, right? Because beauty doesn't have to just be for the wealthy, which is something that's really interesting. People tend to, they're like, oh, only rich people get a chance to enjoy beauty. And that's not true at all. And beauty can be, you know, a flower coming up out of the ground right now that you can stop and appreciate. Or it could be the type of materials and cosmetics you do put in your house. But yeah, that's really what we want to do, is educate and inspire realtors to be agents of change and to work with clients, that's home buyers and home sellers or investors, on how to make more sustainable choices when they are buying or selling a property.
Mm-hmm. And you say sustainable, and that's a word that's often used as a blanket term for a group of concepts that are sometimes unclear. And how do you guys define sustainability in your business practices?
That's a really good question. Sustainable in our business is really looking at the building science and the systems. So it's a little bit more tangible, where I feel like sustainability, a lot of people think of it as like, oh, you know, go green, or, you know, live a more sustainable life. And that might feel a little bit more intangible because people don't really know how to start making a transition. So it's a nice way to meet people where they're at as well. Because some people could make more sustainable choices in their home by simply putting a Nest thermostat in, and then they're able to have a more of an awareness about the energy consumption going on in their house. It could be that simple. And it could be as deep and well thought out as they want to build a new home and they want to do a living building challenge. And a living building challenge has multiple criteria that your home has to meet a number of years even after it's been up and functioning to get that certification. And, you know, then there's everything in between. So like I said, listening and hearing and meeting people where they're at and creating a safe environment to not, of course, feel like we are holier than thou, but that any choice is a good choice and it just has to be these small behavioral changes. So that's how we define sustainability.
Okay. What is a living building? I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah. So hopefully I can do this justice, but a living building is kind of the cream of the crop right now in the commercial building world, as well as some residential. And there are 7 different criteria that the building has to meet. And I don't know all of them off the top of my head, but a couple of the criteria is going to be net zero water, right? So it's not taking more water than it's using, or net zero energy, same thing, not taking more energy than it's using. You even have beauty in there. You've got equity. And there's a couple more, but the International Living Future Institute out of Seattle is an amazing organization, and I'm going to be attending their Living Future Conference this May, and it is an opportunity for real estate professionals to come together to talk about these particular types of issues that we're facing and how do we continue to advance the dialogue? And it's my first conference with them, so I'm really excited. And our small but mighty Latitude team will also be joining. And so we really want to be investing our time and energy with the change makers and the forward thinkers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really exciting.
Yeah, it is.
Wow, it sounds kind of like the living and building concept sounds, or makes me think of the Earth ships in Taos. Are you familiar with those?
Yeah, I am familiar with them. Right. It would be kind of like that. I don't know a lot about Earth ships because we ourselves are starting to do the deep dive into more natural building materials. My brother's girlfriend, she's got a permaculture design business called Evolve Permaculture, and she's been giving us a lot of counsel on natural building because she's invested a lot of time in that and has done workshops in and around Oregon, teaching people about that. You know, the Living Building Challenge also focuses on like the, not necessarily, you know, cob, but it's going to be what kind of building materials are out in the world today that are kind of traditional and typical, right? And, anyway, and how are we designing them differently to be regenerative and living rather than static and a stagnating, you know, pile of sticks and bricks that just take so much energy to keep going.
Yeah, it's really interesting in this new age we find ourselves in, kind of realizing that in order to live in harmony with the earth, we have to draw from what our ancestors were doing and also find ways to utilize our new technologies in these really creative partnerships so that we can design new ways to go forward.
Yes, I completely agree. I think that we're always going to be looking to the past to learn, and we're always going to be applying those principles into the day-to-day. I think that, of course, you know, the post-World War II era that we've lived in has really, you know, disconnected us from that. And we see everything as, you know, just this one life cycle. It's like you build the building and then it gets demolished and or deconstructed, but we're not thinking of it as something that can actually give back in a variety of ways. So yeah, like the Living Building Challenge, like I said, it really focuses in the commercial world, and it's only right now those that have the financial resources in many cases to be able to build a residential home that has Living Building Challenge standards. So, you know, that's always going to be a challenge, is financial resources and what someone can do. But that is going to be changing as well, because there's a lot of amazing modular companies out there building prefabricated homes that even can achieve net zero energy that are much more affordable.
Through Latitude, you're working with home sellers and home buyers, and then you're also investing in your own real estate portfolio.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we also really want to work with a lot more realtors across the country. So we're trying, and it's working. We're building a brand where realtors who have this value system, and there's a lot of realtors that do, they just don't necessarily have a real estate company that is specifically focused on this. And so our goal is to also grow teams within Oregon, you know, Washington, California, and beyond, to be able to advance this discussion around climate change adaptation and resiliency. Mm-hmm. My clients, it's interesting. My clients aren't saying to me, Alyssa, you know, I want to adapt in this changing climate, you know, but they're asking me questions like, hey, I heard that maybe I should replace my grass. Like, what should I replace it with? Or, hey, do you know, the difference between, you know, this smart home technology and that smart home technology? Or what about solar panel incentives? Like, each person has a different question. And what I extrapolate out of those questions is that people are thinking more about the future and how to be a little bit better prepared and how to have more, just more investment in their home systems. And so, like I said, it's taken me a number of years to understand that, oh, okay, people actually really want good counsel and guidance around how to live more sustainably at home. But a lot of realtors haven't necessarily had that knowledge. Or if they do have that knowledge, you know, maybe the clients haven't asked those questions and it just hasn't come up in conversation. And so through our social media and blogging, our goal is to just continuously put out information that people can use as a resource. And that when we are in a due diligence period for a client, we're able to give them really good counsel on the types of repairs that need to get done and how to be more mindful about the materials. So that way you're not putting toxic materials in. Because it's pretty staggering when you look at how much time we actually spend indoors. And I know, Bethany, mm-hmm. you're probably really lucky. You get to spend a lot of time outside. But as the world's populations continue to move to urban centers, we are really going to need to radically change our behaviors and rethink how our urban environments function. And the amount of time you spend at your home or in your building is, you know, it's like 95% of your life, you know? And
wow, that's wild.
Yeah, it is wild. It is wild. And if you don't have any investment in the type of home or building you're in, you realize how much that can have a deleterious impact on your health and your wellness. So we also come at this from a health and wellness standpoint as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, especially when it comes to, I mean, I know more and more people are working from home yep. And more jobs are turning to being like web-based jobs, which I think is really great and to some extent because it allows for a lot of, you know, potential personal freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, office spaces,
right?
Yeah, and just the fabric of our homes, you don't really think about what kind of air you're breathing, what kind of, you know, chemicals and yes. toxins are leaching out of your walls.
Yes, yes, yes. It's huge. It's huge. And one of your questions, you know, which is what are some of our biggest challenges is I find just apathy because people are tired. They mm-hmm. work really hard for their families and for themselves to do what's right. And I don't, you know, when I say the word apathy, it's not that people don't want to change. It's just that they have time management issues and energy management issues. And they see these transitions into a more resilient lifestyle as hard and challenging. And how am I going to get right. the time? But that is what the world needs more of. You know, our climate change scientists out there are saying it's not just about single-use plastics. Like if we all stopped drinking out of straws, that would be one thing. That would be great. You know, kudos to us. But what the world really needs is behavior change. Mm-hmm. And I think that Latitude is poised. And we're getting the feedback every day. I mean, we've gotten a couple realtors from other parts of the world, like Tucson, and we've had someone from Las Vegas reach out. And that's what has made us realize that it's not just Portland, Oregon that deserves to have these conversations, but all 50 states and even beyond deserves to have these conversations. So that's why we want to reach more realtors to bring them, you know, within the company so that way they can be giving really solid quality counsel for people's health and wellness. I mean, we're not doctors, but yeah, what kind of materials are you using when you're doing your bathroom remodel? Well, here's the materials list that we recommend, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think businesses like Latitude kind of taking that role of authority and guiding people and offering alternatives for housing, you know, just simply having an informational hub where, you know, I could see it expanding into like a rental market at some point where people could go to your platform and say, you know, I'm looking for an apartment in Portland. Where can I live that is, you know, going to be a building that's really safe for me and my family and that I can feel good about inhabiting?
Yeah. And it's interesting you mentioned the rental market. So we had offered property management services for the last 5 years. And in 2019, we ceased providing property management. And that was just one of the most amazing experiences of my life, like getting a chance to understand the world of a property owner and someone who's a resident. And we learned a lot from a group of clients that owned about 106 apartments in town. And they had consistently done sustainable upgrades to their properties over time. And that looked like taking the carpet out and replacing it with bamboo flooring or marmoleum flooring. They put solar hot water heaters on their properties. They put solar panels on their properties. They always had ecological landscaping or nativescaping. So that way they could reduce overall water bills to make sure that the plants could withstand the droughts of the Portland summers and then be able to handle all the rain in the winters. Uh-huh. So it was a really phenomenal opportunity to manage those properties because you did see people wanting to rent there. They wanted to stay longer. And, you know, so there wasn't as much turnover. People weren't moving as quickly. And it set the foundation for Neil and I to be able to say, hey, like we can do this. And we are in uncharted territory. Realtors do not talk like this. But I am thankful that my background, which at SIT in Vermont, you know, led me to working in India and writing my thesis on the economics of self-reliance, and then realizing that everybody defines, you know, freedom as strictly financial freedom, but we're taking it a step further as well and saying it's not just financial freedom and how you can structure your lives, but it's food freedom, right? How much food are you able to grow at your home? And, or, you know, how's your physical and health freedom? Like, are you able to move around freely? And do you feel good in your body? And are you, you know, are you content? And are you enjoying life? And what about your emotional and your spiritual? So these are the kind of conversations that we really enjoy having, and people are desperate for them.
Yeah, it's like the freedom of choice and variety of your life.
Yes, freedom of choice is huge. And I have been radically transforming my home because I also want to live my value system. And so 2019 was the year that we made radical life changes. And those changes, you know, encapsulate getting rid of all of our grass. We redesigned our entire yard to have both nativescaping as well as grow our own food.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're looking at doing a little bit better with our water management on site. So how much rainwater is coming onto our property and how much can we keep on our property? So that way we don't continue to overwhelm our stormwater management systems. And it's been so fun. It's been so healing for me personally to get in the dirt and start thinking more critically, of course, about soil health. So I know you and I could probably go way down.
Yeah, this could be like a 2-hour long interview if we start talking about soil health.
Yeah, so soil health obviously is the key to our survival as a species.
Yes.
And I love talking about it. But yeah, reassessing my own time management and where I want to prioritize my time led me to my yard and what I can grow. And I have a 3-year-old, and I also want to make sure that we're setting him up to have the best microbiome he can possibly have in his body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's just that caring for your home, you know, no matter how small it is. I think everyone deserves to have that space that is safe for them and that they can pour their love into. And that has, you know, everything to do with the soil and what you're growing to eat in your home space, whether that's in a container on a back porch or in the ground.
Yeah, exactly. And so Neil and I have different passions within the sustainability realm, right? Like he gets really excited about systems and building science. And I get really excited about land use, right? Even if it's a 5,000 square foot lot in Portland or a 2,500 square foot lot, which is pretty typical. How do we actually live a more resilient urban life? Because it's happening, right? We are living through climate crises. Mm-hmm. And so you can continue to stay a victim of climate change and be depressed by the headlines, but we have to take individual action. And that individual action, I do believe, has huge cascading benefits because my neighbors are wondering what I'm doing. And now I'm able to engage with my neighbors more. And now I'm building social capital and they trust me and they know me and my child knows them. And, oh, look, we've got extra greens and I'm able to just give extra greens. And it feels so good to be able to give food away. Mm-hmm. So it's been a huge personal transformation, which has also helped inform how we do this at Latitude as well.
Yeah, it's so interesting in all these conversations that I've gotten to have since starting this podcast. You know, my intention was to interview entrepreneurs and business owners who are running ethically based businesses. Mm-hmm. And I've interviewed a scope of different people, but the conversation just always comes back to food. Yeah. And it's just the basis of everything. And if we could all start growing our own food, which we can, yep. If everyone would start doing that, I mean, I feel like we would just reduce yeah. our negative impact on the climate in such an enormous way if we could stop shipping food all across the world.
Yes. I mean, this is a question that I ask my friends and clients. Just, you know, I mean, it's sometimes it relates to the real estate transaction itself. A lot of times it doesn't. It's just, hey, who are we? But what would happen if we got a supply chain hiccup and our local market wasn't able to get the groceries that you need? Like, what's the plan? Mm-hmm. Because it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when.
Yeah. I know. It's about preparing for the inevitable changes we all know are impending.
Yeah. And the changes are happening. And that's the thing. It's like, I was listening to a journalist, his name's Paul Hawkins, and it was just a snippet of an interview that he did on the Rich Roll podcast, and he was the one that said, stop being a victim of climate change. And that really, I was able to receive that message. My heart is open to it, and I took it to heart, and I said, okay, I am no longer a victim of this, but I am going to continue to be the agent of change. And I'm not looking necessarily to make this massive global impact, which is what the education system, I felt like, really promulgated. It's like, go out and be this crazy change maker and change the entire world. And so I've had to do a lot of unlearning of what that means. And what I realize is change starts within, and then it trickles into your family members, and then it trickles into your neighbors, and then maybe mm-hmm. you'll live in the neighborhood. And I am really happy with that. I feel so content and at peace that I no longer have to go change the world, but I can just change my house and
yes. use it
as a point, as a positive,
like a rippling effect.
Yes. And so that's been part of also my personal transformation.
That's a very peaceful thought.
It's really, yeah, it's nice. I've been, you know, I've had such a struggle all these years, like continue to get more education and continue to like build the resume this way and that way. But yeah, my reconnection with soil, especially in times of the stress that we were experiencing in 2019, as we transitioned out of one aspect of our business into this current paradigm that we're in, there was a lot of stress, and I did go out and grow food, and that was really healing. And so I also try to encourage all my friends who have young children to do the same thing, because our children are going to need to see better behaviors. They're going to need to learn skills. And it's really fun to see kids, of course, get out and get their hands dirty. Because that's the best thing that we can do, is set them up for a more successful life.
Mm-hmm. It's so natural. It's the most natural thing in the world to go out and sink your hands into the soil and take care of plants.
Yep. And I'm not, you know, I still have my issues with, like, you know, like my mom and family came from a big farm in South Dakota, and everybody, and she left, and I remember her saying things like, farming is poor people's work. And that was something that I don't think she meant to have such an impact on me, but it was that defining moment of like, how are you going to go make money? You know, go out and get this education and get these things. And if you accumulate these things and these experiences, then your life will be set. But I'm finding that we're just making our way back. And I'm super curious about her experiences growing up, making her own food, right? Butter, and harvesting their own animals and growing their own vegetables. And now we're
values. You know, values change so much.
Yeah. And so I'm completely optimistic about the future. And, you know, like, as I've mentioned, I think realtors are an incredible place to start because they are so interconnected into the fabric of their communities. And if they just got a little bit of guidance and counsel on how to have these conversations, I think that the real estate industry could actually change the world.
It makes me want to go get my realtor's license.
I know. You know, I never thought I was going to become a licensed realtor, right? I always thought I was going to be like the executive director of a nonprofit, but I'm so pleased and feeling so good in where we've landed. And we've got a small team right now that's kind of headquarters here in Portland of four of us. And you know, that's our big goal for 2020 is to just grow the team and continue to iterate, because one of the things with being a business owner is we stay flexible, we stay nimble. You know, we do have our value system and we operate by that value system, but we're always open to feedback. And each client that we work with or each realtor that comes into the fold, you know, they're going to inform and help grow it in different ways. And that's what we're really excited about, is how do we actually have this conversation around behavior change as it relates to your real estate purchase or sale. Mm-hmm. And so many people in Portland, of course, have invested decades of time and money and energy into their beautiful properties. And the property itself, like the sticks and the bricks, that gets all the marketing focus, but none of the land does. We never have a plant inventory. Buyers don't know what kind of plants they're buying. They don't know what kind of systems that owner has set up in order to maintain, you know, the beauty that they've surrounded themselves with. And I think that we can also change that conversation from, you know, when homes are listed for sale. I think we can do a much better job at saying, hey, here's the value in the yard. It's a pesticide-free yard. Or in Portland, we've got the certified, we've got the certified backyard habitat certification. Like,
such an interesting idea.
Yeah. Like, what we don't know is actually how much value that has. You know, would buyers be more interested in homes listed with these tags, knowing that for the last 10 years, it's been operated as a pesticide-free yard? I mean, I believe that there's value there. So we need.
Yes, absolutely. Right. I think more and more people would be jumping all over that.
Yeah, but you know, in our local MLS, like where all the data is, we don't have those tags. So if we can also help our regional multiple listing service add these marketing tags, then again, we can also in the background have this language and have these philosophies come through, right? Mm-hmm. And people can be like, I only want to look for houses that have pesticide-free yards. Boom. Now your search is narrowed down to that.
Yeah. Or like edible landscaping.
Yeah. Same thing.
You know, how many edible trees are there on site?
Totally. I think, like I said, the plant list is huge because people have so many different varieties of fruit trees, or they've got all these different berries, or they've got these different type of, you know, native plants that they've nativescaped with. And you know, I heard a really alarming statistic that our children can identify up to 1,000 corporate logos, but they can't identify 10 plant species.
It's not surprising at all.
Yeah. So, of course, I got depressed at that thought. I'm like, the world is so messed up. But again, it's like, well, I'm not going to be a victim of that kind of statistic. I'm going to teach my child about plants, and I'm going to invite the neighbor kids over, and we're going to learn about plants. Cause that's what I did. We looked at our yard and we chopped it up, and we're composting, and we've got hugel culture going, and I'm picking up all my plants next week at, you know, this plant sale, and we're going to have a planting party. So it's, instead of feeling disempowered, you know, it's just saying, okay, I value my time. I could go out for another restaurant meal in Portland, or I could spend my money and time, you know, taking that money and that time and putting it into my house and inviting some people over, actually.
Yeah. I mean, what's going to, it's amazing to think about little kids planting herbs and like the soft, fuzzy oregano. And they're all so like just sensorily amazing.
They are. You know? And like they're going to have those memories to fall back on. And if they've got adults around them modeling this kind of behavior, I do believe that the next generation is going to continue to advance, you know, the Gretas of the world. Like every child has that ability to stand up for what they believe in. And, but yeah, we just got to continue to educate our neighbors and be open and not judgmental, right? Like I said, the goal is never to be holier than thou, that we have the best system and the best way, because each person has a different motivation. And we just want to know what that motivation is. So that way we can help give them the best possible counsel.
Mm-hmm. And it has to be made fun too, right? It goes along with the whole struggle of apathy. So yeah. People are tired, you know, people are stressed out and feel depressed and downtrodden.
Yep.
And that's totally understandable if you look at our society and the way that we've structured our civilization. It's not set up for any of our greatest goods at this time. So trying to find a way to include people that's fun and that is exciting and empowering and easy is like the challenge for change makers.
Yeah. And easy could be simply a container garden, right? You just get a couple of things going, or maybe you grow some more flowers because you really enjoy flowers and that attracts beneficial pollinators and insects. I mean, there's so many ways that you could reach somebody. And you know, the other thing that also really motivated us, and this is just, it's like we're supposed to be talking about a real estate podcast, but the truth is, my husband and I, we decided to go plant-based eating because my brother and his girlfriend had been living at our house, and they've been plant-based eaters for a lot of years. And that experience in and of itself, gathering around food, always getting it at the farmer's market, eating a lot more vegetables than animal proteins, has also really helped shift our spiritual understanding. And I was very motivated from a climate change standpoint as well to eat less meat because of, you know, just deforestation for cattle grazing. Mm-hmm. And so not everybody is going to make those choices, but you know, what you put into your body and if you can grow it on site or bake it on site, I've really gotten into, you know, baking bread with sourdough. And that is just where I want to spend my time and energy. And I know people are hungry for support and positivity and accountability around it. So I also like to hold my clients and friends and community accountable. And I check in on them when they say that they want to do something. And I always follow up because I've heard them and I want them to know that I've heard them.
Yeah. That's so important, having that accountability. Have you considered forming like a more structured group, like accountability group for your clients where you'd have like monthly meetups to discuss your plans or your progress?
That is yes. In my head, I'm constantly building empires and connections. but I too am limited on time. One of the things that I want to do actually is just have a small book club focused on the food system. And I have some past clients and some neighbors that raised their hand saying they wanted to be in it. And that was supposed to launch in January. It's February now. You know, timing is everything is too. So hopefully I can get us to read maybe like 6 books throughout the year, not a book a month, but maybe 1 book every 2 months. So that way we can, you know, hop on Zoom and have a dialogue or come over and drink tea and have a dialogue around it. Cause that is my goal, is to create more connection around it. And I have been doing a lot of writing, and I'll be writing a little bit more on our blog about my transition from a life that was really reliant on the grocery store to my life that's now less reliant on the grocery store and beyond, right? Like our basement, we've now turned it into a completely functioning food production zone. And we had to ask ourselves, like, should we finish this basement out and should we make it extra living space for our family members? Or maybe we could even have it be a rental. But my husband and I made the conscious choice to keep the basement unfinished because it has an ambient air temperature of 60 degrees. It'll be perfect for fermentation and food storage. And we've got, we've got our vermicompost going down there now. We've got, we just set up, you know, the space to be able to grow seeds and start, do some seed saving. Cause of course, as I continue to do the deep dive in, I'm like, oh my God, seed saving. Like that's the next big, like spiritual awakening for me. Right. Because isn't it like 80% of our seeds are controlled by four corporations?
Yes, actually, when I did my PDC in Kenya, the permaculture design certification, they're actually, my classmates were telling me that they're not allowed to sell or trade or share seed because the country has signed into some international agreement where all of the seed is controlled by either Monsanto or a company like Monsanto.
Right.
Where they're hybridizing seeds.
Yeah. And that's just not okay. Cause that's
madness.
Right. Because we know that that's the basis for a healthy life is good food and feeling good.
Yeah.
It's just not okay.
And seeds, I mean, plants like hybridize to their area. So for instance, you know, people around here want to, I live in Santa Fe in the high desert, mm-hmm. or zone like 6B. And people will order seeds from seed companies in Oregon, which are amazing, super reputable companies, but y'all are farming in totally different environments. You know, we should be saving seeds that do really well in Santa Fe and growing them year after year and creating these like Santa Fe super crops.
Right. And so that's when we just get into bioregionalism. And we need to be really, you know, radically rethinking how we get our food and who we're supporting. And so that's kind of how we apply that same type of ecosystem mindset then to the real estate world. And what's also really fun is the opportunity now to form new relationships with vendors. So we just want to be working with vendors that also operate at this level of awareness and intention. So our ecosystem is always going to be filled with business referrals that are not doing business as usual. And that could be from the HVAC systems to, you know, the edible landscape designers or the permaculture landscape designers and everything in between, roofers, landscapers themselves, which I found that, you know, that's a huge need is ecologically minded landscaping, because it's so easy in town to just roll in, throw a bunch of pesticides down because they see dandelions and, you know, just that cycle continues. So we've been doing a deep dive into who our ecosystem partners are going to be. And we ask that all of the realtors and all of the vendors that we do work with actually take a pledge. I mean, it's getting pretty serious. You know, you got to like hold your hand up. You got to pledge to live the value system.
I love that.
It's
amazing.
Like people want to be held accountable, and that is my job. And I do keep good tally and record of who says what. And I try really hard to follow up and make personal touches so that way, like I said, they know that they're heard and that they can continue to be the best examples they can be for their neighbors.
I love it. Changing the world one community at a time through real estate.
Yeah. And so that's the fun thing. It's like, you know, I guess actually in Nevada, it has some, you know, some of the strictest water management laws. And there were so many realtors that had gotten this Earth Advantage certification, which is a nonprofit organization here in Portland that helps educate realtors on these sustainable practices. And I was looking at the list and, you know, Portland has like 300 realtors that have gotten the certification, but I think Las Vegas and within the state of Nevada, it was like 350. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's so interesting. And, you know, it shows that the landscape and what's happening in the lands does have a direct impact in the policies, which then has a direct impact on, you know, how people buy and sell real estate, whether it's raw land or whether it's homes. Mm-hmm. And realtors have to be up to speed on these policy shifts. I mean, the next thing that we're seeing is natural gas is getting outlawed. So Berkeley just outlawed natural gas, and all new construction has to be electric because, I mean, there's a variety of reasons. Seattle's talking about it, which means I'm sure Portland will talk about it. And now I have a job to help educate my clients that natural gas, you know, with cooking, actually gives off a lot of toxins in the air when you are cooking with it. It's very heavy on the carbon footprint standpoint, and it's going to become illegal to put in new construction. That's a sign, right? And people are going to have to, like there's been these myths perpetuated that, oh, you cook better on natural gas. You know, it gives you a more even heat. And consumers, and I don't really want to use that word consumers because I don't want to call us consumers, but they're calling them consumers and they have to change their behavior. So anyway,
people who consume,
yeah, these items, right? They want to buy, they want to buy the next, you know, upgraded stove. So what's that going to be? And now we're looking at really energy efficient induction stoves. And, but that's going to be a shift, you know, now, anyway, so you can see where it goes. It can get really specific really quickly.
Yeah. I mean, that could even lead to like designing some kind of really beautiful solar stove for the south facing side of people's homes. But then it's like, how do you change the behavior to like to start cooking on a solar stove where it takes, you know, a couple hours to cook potatoes or whatever it is.
Right. I know. I mean, that would be amazing. There's a resource that I read that I recommend for all urbanites. It's called the Integral Urban House. And it's like the biggest, well, it's not the biggest. It's a very intense technical manual on what these people did with their home in Berkeley, California, back in the 70s. And it goes into really, really deep systems thinking about the house. And that book sits on my shelf and I reference it a lot. And it's how I'd like to see my urban house evolve. And anyway, so they talk about solar stoves and things of that nature. But yeah, I think people want to feel empowered. They want to have more self-reliance. And so that's also just what we're doing. We're advancing that dialogue.
Yeah. Yeah, people want to have options. We want to be able to make choices that are good for ourselves, good for our planet, good for our communities. Yep. And, you know, it's like that's one of the frustrating things about this time is we know that the technology to live in a really thriving utopia exists. It's just a matter of having access to those technologies and those methods.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I applaud you for giving this outlet for people to find good housing.
Yes, that's the goal. That's the goal.
So how do you see Latitude growing forward?
So we really just want to grow a brand that educates and inspires realtors and real estate professionals across the country. Because, you know, there's a lot of ancillary services and people that work to support realtors. And we want them to be included in the conversation. We want to continue to grow and grow our clients, number of people that we serve and help buy and sell and make good choices. And we really want to inspire and educate them about the possibilities and guide them through it. And if we can't do it, then we're going to put them in touch with the right people. And then lastly, it's just, we are living our value system and inspiring behavioral change. So I know that I've got the word inspire in there a lot, but that's really what it is. It's like, we need to inspire so that way people can take action.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I want to just keep talking to you forever, but we are nearing the end of our time. So I have like four questions that I like to ask all of my interviewees. Are you ready? Can you jump into those?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So what advice do you have for entrepreneurs starting out that you wish you had been given?
Okay. I really had to think about this one because the advice is find a tribe that supports you. But I did that. you know, we were very intuitive and we found a tribe and they really helped us become the best real estate professionals we could be. So whatever it is you need to do, find people that are going to support you and be your cheerleaders, because times will get challenging and there will be a time that you're like, I should just go get a job. That'll be easier. So the other piece is align your values, what the world needs, and your passions. That's the advice. Align your values, what the world needs, and your passions. And if you are able to align those three things, you will be able to withstand the hard times. Because being an entrepreneur is the most rewarding and the most challenging thing I have ever done. And I can count on my hand, though, where I've like gone to the job listserv to look, because I'm like, how are we going to do this? And that's because we weren't aligned always in our values and what the world needs and our passions. You know, when we ran the property management company, the world needed it and we did have a value system around it, but we weren't passionate about it. And so now Latitude is strictly sales focused because we've got all those things working symbiotically.
It's like the triangle of success.
Yeah. And it's a really windy road. So don't feel bad if you're not there, but think critically. That's the other thing, being an entrepreneur, you know, stay nimble, stay flexible, because change is the only constant. Anyway, I meditate a lot about that.
I love that. I'm writing down all these notes.
Nice.
So what is your required reading or podcast for our listeners?
Oh, this is so exciting. So Seth Godin, I don't know if you've ever heard of Seth Godin. He's an amazing human and is a prolific writer. And he's got lots of books. Like, you know, all marketers are storytellers, tribes. He also has his podcast called Akimbo, and he's a marketing guy, and he's the kind of guy that says, you know, provide actual value to your people, and your people need to enroll in what you're doing. You're not asking for people to subscribe. You're literally asking for people to enroll in your vision, because then you know that you're building an authentic tribe of people that are invested in your business or your idea. So Seth Godin, he has been huge for us. The book, The One Thing by Jay Papasan and Gary Keller. Mm-hmm. That's nice.
It's a great book.
Yeah, because it's always a reminder, because I always have shiny object syndrome. It's like, oh my God, that mm-hmm. idea is amazing. We should do that. And then it does take you off. Yeah. And so The One Thing, it's like, remember what you're doing. And then lastly, personal favorite is the Rich Roll podcast. Rich Roll is like an ultra endurance athlete. He's kind of the Oprah of the athletic world. That's what people have likened him to. He has the most amazing conversations ever. And he hits all sorts of topics, but that's just for like genuine life enjoyment.
Great. I'll have to check all those out.
Yes.
Seth Godin, Rich Roll, The One Thing. And I'll put links to all of this and the different companies that you've referenced.
Cool.
In our podcast notes.
Great, great.
So what is your most favorite plant?
So I love this question. I just have to say the trees, because they make up the forest, which makes me happy. I spend every Friday running in our forest park, we're very blessed to live in a city that has one of like the largest urban forested park in the country. So I go get a lot of work done in the forest. And the trees are so amazing. They support so much life and they need to be appreciated.
Mm-hmm. That's a great answer. I like to run too. I like to run in Forest Park when I lived in Portland.
It is.
You'll have to tell Forest Park I said hello.
Yes, I will next time. It is a gem of a place. And if anybody in Portland is listening to this and you don't go to Forest Park, you should start. It will change your life.
And how can people get in touch with you?
Yes. I am very active on Instagram, my personal page, which is Ms. M-I-Z-A-L-I-S-S, Ms. Alyss. You can email me at Alyssa, A-L-I-S-S-A, at choose, C-H-O-O-S-E, latitude.com. You can get in touch through our website, which is chooselatitude.com. And you can also see how we're educating and inspiring at latitude.realty on Instagram. We're also on Facebook too, but we tend to like, you know, I guess trends, right? Trends in the Instagram world points us there. Mm-hmm. We're all trying to figure out our relationship with social media.
Right. I know it's so hard to try to keep your feet in worlds of reality and also connect with people through social media in meaningful ways. But I would never have found you if I hadn't, been active on social media.
Yep. And I appreciate that. And it just goes to show that, you know, people are enrolling in what we're doing, which is exactly what Seth Godin says to do. And so all of our Instagram followers are, you know, wonderful people that we like to engage with. And so I found that to be, you know, better than our newsletter, better than the subscribe buttons or get in contact. People are contacting us through Instagram. So I'll take it for what it is.
Sure. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Alyssa. You're really wonderful. And I wish you all the success with Latitude. I can't wait to see how it blossoms in the coming years.
Yes, Bethany. Thank you so much for inviting me on this podcast. I can't wait to help continue to spread the good word.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're doing good work too, so keep it up.
Thank you. All right, have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you all so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the Growing Forward podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode and that you are all feeling inspired. Everyone out there listening, just know that you have the power to affect change. If you enjoy this podcast, please take a moment and leave me a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. It really helps the show to appear in searches, which in turn helps my guests to spread their amazing motivational messages. If you'd like to contact me, find me on Instagram at Bethany_growingforward. You can also email me at growingforwardpodcast@gmail.com. I'm on YouTube and Facebook-ish. Working on a website that should be up by the time the next episode airs. Thanks again, folks. I hope you all enjoy the rest of your day. Bye. I won't take you anymore, and I know you've done me wrong. I forgot to care about today. I'm headed on my way. I have always wanted to adopt a forest, name it in the winter time. When I can see all its bones and I know its soil, I'll make breath with all those trees. Helplessly me, reckless with honesty. Oh, why? Why, oh, why, oh, why? Far prefer to die than to fail to try. Start to shine. when this life is over, I'll fly away to the fields soft with clovers, and I'll forget you've done me wrong. And don't feel bad, don't ask me if I stay. I'm headed on my way. I have always wanted adopt a forest, name it in the winter time, when I can see all its bones, and I will know its soil. I'll make breath with all those trees. Helplessly me, reckless with honesty. Oh, why, oh, why, oh, why? Prefer to die than to fail to try.